You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Micah Parsons putting the pressure on the Cowboys, and Nick Harris, Star Telegram, has a scoop, fist pumping here on the Fan Cam, the final hour of the week here on the morning show. Sean and RJ back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. We have Bobby Bell in the mix. We got Peyton producing. We have Carter running the Fan Cam, Twitch and YouTube. It's great to have you in. Thanks for waking up with us. And now we head to the DNN Leasing Hotline and welcome in our buddy Nick Harris of the Star Telegram. Covers the Cowboys, and you're all over this Micah stuff. Nick, how you doing?
Doing well, fellas. How are y'all?
Doing great, dude. Doing great. Outside of the fact that the Eagles are going to be doing some parading today, that's frustrating. But I like what Micah's doing. What are some of the things that he has said trying to put some pressure on the Cowboys, trying to copy and paste what the Eagles have done?
Yeah, he was speaking at a Make-A-Wish event yesterday in Grapevine at Great Wolf Lodge. And afterward, he was asked about, you know, the Eagles and is there any, you know, extra competitiveness that he has seeing them win a Super Bowl. He kind of rattled on and then eventually went into, yeah, I would like to see us be more aggressive this offseason. You know, we see these teams like the 49ers, they go out and add talent in the offseason. The Eagles, obviously, the Ravens, et cetera. He said, I don't want to sit back and watch other teams build and us stay the same. And basically kind of urging the front office to, hey, we need some pieces around us, not only outside of the building, but we also need to retain our own, is what he said. He's got, you know, an eye on Osa Digizua, who's going to be a due up for free agency, Chauncey Golston, Carl Lawson, more so of his pass rushing teammates. But, yeah, certainly some desire by Micah Parsons for this team to be more active in free agency than they've historically been.
You know, and Nick, I don't think anybody anticipates them to be massive players in free agency, but you point out the part there of just bringing back their own. So last year there was a mass exodus of their depth. Is that something where even if the Cowboys aren't going to play in the free agent waters heavily, do you think the Cowboys at least look at it and go like, okay, maybe we can't let all the Dante Fowlers, all the Jonathan Hankins, all the Dorrance Armstrongs, we can't let all these types of players go. We're going to have to be a little more aggressive in terms of retaining depth.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to have to be the case. I mean, let's just look at that defensive line, for example, right? If you let all those guys walk, then you're looking at a roster that only has Micah Parsons, Mozzie Smith, Tyrus Wheat. Gosh, I'm trying to think of other guys who would still – Marshawn Nealand. I mean, there's not much depth there already, and the depth that you do have is young, aside from Micah Parsons. So they have to be able to invest on a couple of those guys. I think Osa Digizua should obviously be priority number one. There was a projection the other day that had him at 3 years, $63 million, which would be wild. $21 million average annual value. It makes sense. This is a defensive tackle who's got some pass rush knacks, and he's really talented coming out of that three-tech position. He's going to be highly coveted on the open market. If the Cowboys want to retain him, they're definitely going to have to pony up and pay a pretty penny for it. But not only him, Chauncey Golston, I think, should be deserving of a return. Carl Lawson, I think, should get added to another one-year contract for what he did last season, coming off the practice squad, eventually making his way onto the 53 and creating the pass rush presence that he had. But then you can look on the offensive side of the ball. football. You got Rico Dowdle. What do you do at the running back position? You know, Zach Martin, if you expect him to move on, do you go add more offensive line and free agency? There's going to be a lot that has to pan out. But I think defensive line more than anything is probably where that conversation comes into play.
Nick, you know, you talk about the three technique defensive tackle position there that Ose is occupying. Is bringing in a guy like Eberflus, who is so heavy on the three technique and that being such an important position in his defense, did that boost potentially the chances that Ose Odighizuwa comes back? Or does it just maybe change the Cowboys' perspective on, okay, well, Ose was always going to be more expensive. Maybe we need to get more creative. Maybe we need to look at more of Golston inside doing some three technique work. Maybe we need to prioritize this higher in the draft. Is that going to have to be a bigger focus just by the nature of hiring Eberflus?
Yeah, I think the position as a whole is going to be a bigger focus, I think is what you were asking there. Chauncey Golston, in my opinion, is not a three tech. Keep that guy on the edge and let him use his power off the edge. We saw that finally get used to 100% maximization this past season, and we saw what that did for Chauncey Golston. I say keep him there. I wouldn't try him again inside. Just because, again, he was limited at that spot. But if you can't bring Ose Odighizuwa back, then you're looking at this really talent-rich defensive tackle class in the draft, and you're probably going and getting one or two guys. You definitely need depth in that middle. I mean, you're letting a guy like Linval Joseph go as well, who's a veteran, didn't play a whole lot when it comes to snap count, but he was really important when it came to rotating in and out off the field with Mozzie Smith. So you might need another one tech there to not only help out Mozzie, but potentially compete for his job. Do you feel comfortable with that one tech spot in the middle of that defensive line? And then that's before we even get to three tech. And if you don't bring back Ose Odighizuwa, then you're probably looking at a guy like Anais Peebles out of Virginia Tech. That's a really interesting pass rushing three tech who showed some run game knacks at the Senior Bowl. You can look at some other guys as well for that spot. I think this is a really interesting defensive tackle class, and if they want to add young talent to that spot, then this is certainly the class to do it. But it would be a lot easier to fill that hole when you have Ose Odighizuwa there to lead that group.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, with us here on The Fan. So these comments from Micah, and he's trying to apply some pressure to the Cowboys, call to action, let's spend some money and let's get more talent in here. How do you think that lands with the Joneses, and will they have any type of reaction in terms of, you know what, yeah, maybe we should listen to Micah?
Yeah, that's where it's you would like to get the other side of the equation and want to know what the other side of the coin looks like. But one thing I can say is that Micah and Jerry Jones have a really good relationship, and it's only gotten better since the conclusion of the season. In that same interview, I asked him, hey, how did that talk with him at the Cotton Bowl go, where he went up to Jerry's suite and they stayed in that suite until about 2 hours after the game had concluded, just talking. And they weren't even really talking about contract stuff, because obviously he's due up for an extension. It was more so just talking about the state of the team, the future, what it could look like, what's his view of it, his vision of it. Obviously, they talked to coaching staff a little bit, and that was before the coaching staff was hired. But it's they have a good enough relationship to where if Micah says something, such as, hey, Jerry, we need to go out and get free agents, then Jerry will at least listen. Now, will he act? That's the other question that, you know, will probably have to be answered once March 12th rolls around and the start of free agency. In my opinion, I think it's going to take a little bit more. You know, talking to Jerry Jones on the red carpet last week in New Orleans, it sounds like that their top priority is getting Micah that extension rather than figuring out what to do in free agency. Now, if they got that extension done before March 12th, then there would be a little bit more flexibility to do some things in free agency. And, you know, it's definitely been Micah's prerogative to get that done sooner rather than later. Asking him about that yesterday again, he said, yeah, there's been no progress, but I'm confident we're going to get something done. So, you know, when does that come? Does that come before March 12th? Does that come before training camp? You know, that there's a lot of questions that go into that. Micah is at least making it seem in the public view that the ball is in Jerry's court at this point.
Is the Micah contract the number one thing that you're going to be trying to get the scoop on when you head to the combine in Indianapolis? What's the top one or two things that you're going to be trying to chase down?
Yeah, that's a good one. Also, just draft strategy, overall draft strategy. What exactly are they going to be going after on those first couple of days? And do they have an idea of what that could look like already before free agency rolls around? Are there a couple of positions maybe that they are looking at in free agency? I mean, I know last year didn't have a whole lot when it came to being active in that department, but they did go out and get an Eric Kendricks at linebacker that was certainly a nice veteran presence to have. Is there a similar type of add that they would be looking to make this year at a specific position group? But yeah, combine's going to be interesting. Sounds like Brian Schottenheimer is going to have an open presser at the combine, so there's going to be even more to grab off of him. Obviously, the Jerry interview is always a good one in Indianapolis. So it sounds like we're going to get quite a bit down there.
Nick, this 3-4 weeks now that Brian Schottenheimer's been the head coach of the Cowboys, just from the press conference optics, the coaching hires, different things like that, how would you grade this first month or so for Schottenheimer, just based obviously on the things that he can control and some of these coaching staff hires he's made?
Yeah, I'll say this with the preface, is that I don't think there should be any concerns about what Brian Schottenheimer can do off the field. And I think that includes building a staff. I mean, this guy was a 25-year-plus assistant in the NFL, and he knows what good staffs look like, and he knows what bad staffs look like. He's been on both. And I think he's taken that experience and really applied it to putting the staff around him. And I really like, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, the influx of college blood, bringing in Connor Riley from Kansas State to coach the offensive line, Junior Adams from Oregon to coach the wide receivers, toying around with some running back names, such as Tashar Choice and Rashad Samples. But the influx of that college blood, I think, will just add additional opinion in that offensive room. Schottenheimer is a guy who loves a collaborative effort on the offensive side. Sure, he's going to be the one calling the plays on Sundays, but it's going to be a collaborative effort during the week. And he's certainly got that in mind whenever he's been building this staff. It's going to be an interesting staff. I'm very curious to get to talk to them whenever that comes, whenever their availability comes around. There's a lot of interesting personalities, and I think there's a lot of key development guys that have developed at previous spots that could really help out this squad. But if you're asking for a grade, at this point, again, it's really tough to put a grade on it before they touch the field. And I can't give an A if they haven't touched the field. So I'll go ahead and give it a strong B. I think Schottenheimer's done everything that he can do here in this first month to show that, you know, he's ready for this task.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the staff that he's building right now. But what happened with Tashar Choice?
Yeah, that's a situation where, you know, Tashard was wanting a little bit more money than the Cowboys were willing to offer at that position. And, you know, that's philosophy. And you know, some philosophies are different from other teams. And obviously Detroit Lions, they said, hey, you know, we'll pony up and pay that price. We'll pay him more to bring him over to Detroit. And not only was it an opportunity for a raise for Tashar Choice, but also an opportunity to reunite with Jahmyr Gibbs. He coached him at Georgia Tech before he transferred to Alabama. So it's a fun opportunity for Tashar Choice. But if you had told me before the offseason that Tashar Choice would be taking an NFL running back's job, I'd be like, man, finally he comes to Dallas. But it's just not the case.
Talking with Nick Harris here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram on Sean and RJ on 105.5. Okay, Nick, you mentioned draft strategy a little bit there. Cowboys picking at 12 right now. Obviously, a lot still to come. We haven't even gotten through the combine yet. They just finalized the list of invites this week. But as you look ahead to the draft, your betting favorite right now for pick number 12?
Yeah, I've been sticking with this Genty idea just because I don't think Genty's going to be there at 12, and I think it's going to open up a huge amount of possibilities if Genty is picked. And if Genty is picked before 12, I think this team moves back a few spots and picks up some extra picks. They could certainly use it. Well, I mean, we'll have a better frame of that once free agency finishes up. And again, there's a lot of time between now and the draft. We got a 2 full months and some change. But if Genty's not there at 12, I bet this team moves back a couple of spots just because that 10 to 25 range of players in this draft is so close together, in my opinion. And I feel like they could still get really good value for a guy at 18 or 19 that they would be able to pick there instead of reaching at 12.
Hey, so Eric Chiafalo is a well-known Ashton Genty hater. He says that he's
settled down.
He said he's no different than Tim Hightower is basically what he called him. Just in general, for Eric or for anybody else who says you cannot pick a running back at 12, which I totally understand the thought process there, no shade. But for those who say that, what is your best pitch on this is why Ashton Genty is a different question for the Cowboys at 12 and why you would make that pick?
Well, I will preface that I think I'm probably under more of Eric's line of thinking.
You are, yeah.
Specifically in this draft class, because there are so many talented running backs that you can go get a bona fide starter on day two or even day three. There were a couple of guys on day three last year that turned into starters. I think there's going to be even more this year. But if you were making the case for Ashton Genty at 12, I mean, this guy's different. He's a playmaker. He not only gets the muddy yards, the, hey, we need you to go get 4 or 5 yards and take off time of possession. But he's also that big home run hitter. I think if you took all of his averages and made it into baseball terms, he won the Triple Crown last year as far as, you know, getting those short yardage, hard earned runs, and then also those big home run 50 plus yards, double digit carries that had more than 50 plus yards last year, touchdown machine. And he's really efficient out of the backfield. Boise State did not use him a whole lot out of the backfield because of their offensive system, but he has those, he has that ability in his bag going back to his high school days at Frisco Lone Star, where he had over 800 yards receiving in his senior year. I mean, this guy, he has a developed route tree out of the backfield. He can really make things difficult for you. I would call him a decent pass protector. I think he can get better in that department, but I think there is room to grow there. But you look at the rest of his game, he's an elite back that is worthy of a top 15 pick for sure. I think if you're just talking about it from the Cowboys perspective, you got too many needs, and I think you should probably go get a back on day two or day three. But hey, if they went ahead and pulled the trigger on Jenty at 12, I don't think it would cause a huge rockets from the fan base.
Spot on, Nick Harris, Star Telegram. Yeah, I love the trade down idea. If you can find a dance partner right now as it stands today, I mean, give me this Membu fella from Missouri. He's your right guard. He's your Zach Martin replacement. Round 2, 44. Could we get the big man from the Texas D-line, Alfred Collins, building in the trenches on both sides of the ball? That would be my ideal first two picks right now as it stands today.
Yeah, that would be fun. Membu is a name that's starting to generate a lot of buzz as far as a top 15 pick. I wonder what combine looks like for him and if he's able to.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Solidify that spot. Obviously pro day will be big for him too, but again, like that 10 to 25 range, you will see so many names get thrown in mocks at 12 for the Cowboys just because of how wide that range is right now and how close together that they are.
Nick Harris, who is the favorite Dallas Cowboys reporter from our buddy Zach in Frisco, according to the text right now. Nick, you're a beast. We appreciate the time, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, fellas. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. There he goes. All right. It is the morning show. Sean and RJ back next week. Bobby in studio. Peyton producing. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. You have a football and barbecue opportunity tomorrow. I'll give you the details on that. A little football's finest for you. Schefter's top five most interesting teams of the offseason. Shador Sanders laughing at a mock draft. And what are we doing with Travis Hunter? That's next right here on The Fan. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece coming up here in about 20 minutes. Great to have you in on a Friday. It is the morning show. Thanks for waking up with us. Sean and RJ will be back next week. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation. Bobby Belt, Pepe, producing the program. We're live on Twitch and YouTube. And tomorrow you have an opportunity to hang out with Brian Broaddus, Zach Walchuk, and myself at the grand opening fan appearance at Hurtado Barbecue in Dallas, their brand new location from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We will be recording a brand new Love of the Star episode. And we'll be hanging out, fellowshipping, talking ball, and drinking some barbecue. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., 900 South Harwood Street in Dallas. Hurtado, G-Bag, Love of the Star, let's go.
You said enjoying some barbecue, or it sounded like you said drinking some barbecue.
Drinking, I'll drink the sauce from time to time.
Friday, what you drinking, what you thinking?
Yeah, dude.
I think you did say you were going to be drinking some barbecue just now.
Well, my apologies on that. We will be eating the barbecue and drinking some delicious,
I'll be out there.
Old fashions and all sorts of good stuff.
Oh, I'll be pounding shots. Don't you worry.
Oh, I know you will.
They're not shots. I'll be pounding full drinks.
Loud and obnoxious Bobby will be there.
I did good on Super Bowl media party. I think you and I had about the same amount.
Yeah, you did. Actually, you're right.
I was behaved.
You're on a good streak right now.
I was getting Walchuk really worked up while he was feeling saucy. He was getting worked up at that party because remember we started getting into the whole wingman talk again.
Oh my gosh! Really mad. Yeah, that did get a little testy. Well, we also have a college baseball ticket giveaway coming up here in the next few minutes, so be on the lookout for that, 877-881-1053. A couple of things from an NFL standpoint. Adam Schefter has his top five most interesting teams of the offseason, and I think this is important coming from Schefter because he understands what these teams are trying to do right now and who might be making some tough decisions and who might be making some splashes. His number one most interesting team of the offseason is the Cincinnati Bengals. And we have some quotes from Joe Burrow here that kind of reflect a little bit of like what Micah Parsons is trying to do. Everyone now across the sport is looking at what the Eagles have done, and then they're looking at their own front office and going, hey, why can't we do the same thing? They have a decent quarterback, not a great one. They're paying him big money, and they still find a way to put a ton of talent around this dude. And they're truly going all in. They're mortgaging a bit of their future to win right now. And so Micah wants the Cowboys to do that. Of course he does. And Joe Burrow wants the Bengals to do that. He was on Pardon My Takes podcast, and they asked him about, like, what does it mean to restructure a contract if you're a player? To help things out a little bit. He says, you could convert some of the money to a signing bonus, which will lower the cap hit. You can push some of the money to the back end of the contract. That would lower the cap hit. And then when you get to the back end of the contract, you can restructure it again and convert it to a signing bonus. He says, the Eagles are paying everybody. That seems like the way, whatever they're doing. So Joe Burrow is trying to get, and you feel for him because the Bengals are like the most, they're like the cheapest franchise in all of football.
Yep,
they
routinely.
They are just synonymous with penny pinching. So you can understand his frustrations. And T. Higgins, is a stud wide receiver who's now an unrestricted free agent. A lot of teams are going to be interested in his services. He wants to keep him. Ja'Marr Chase entering the final year of his contract. He's seeking to become the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. The Bengals have approximately $46 million of salary cap space. So how do they go about allocating that? Can they bring back T. Higgins? Can they get the deal done with Ja'Marr Chase? They obviously need a lot of help on the defensive side of the ball. But Adam Schefter has the Bengals as the most interesting team of the offseason.
This whole, like, $30 million a year talk on T. Higgins, though, is just nuts to me. Like, because, I mean, we're talking about, if you just look at the course of his career, do you know what his average season looks like for his career? 66 catches, 900 yards, 7 touchdowns.
What's his best season?
His best season came in 2021, 74 catches, 1,091 yards, 6 touchdowns. Unless last year he had 10 touchdowns, if you prioritize that higher than the yardage, he had 911 yards and 10 touchdowns last year.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I understand him trying to get somewhere in the neighborhood of CeeDee Lamb money, who's like a surefire top five receiver, number one wide receiver. Higgins is not that, but he's been extremely valuable to what the Bengals want to do. Like, their passing attack gets minimized a ton when he's not in those games. So I get it. You're probably going to be overpaying for him. Whatever team ends up doing that, is he a true bona fide wide receiver number one? We'll find out. But if you are one of these teams like the Patriots with a ton of cap space and a huge desperate need for a playmaker on the outside, he's going to be a guy that's going to get the bag from somebody. The Chargers, another team, desperately need help at the receiver position. So, I mean, he's going to get his money. And I don't think it'll be with the Bengals. I think it'll be with somebody else.
I do too, because they just can't afford to pay Burrow like they already have, and then they can't afford to pay Chase and then throw in somebody like Higgins on top of that. Because you're going to have to pay Chase right at the top of the market. Like it felt like last year, or at least in the last 2 years, you remember it was a slam dunk. Everybody said, all right, best receiver in football is Justin Jefferson. And it feels like at least last year, that started to close a little bit more, where people were like, okay, maybe Jamar's closer to Justin Jefferson than we were giving him credit for. And maybe he's right up there in that same sort of conversation. And so if that's the case, then I don't think you can just walk away from Ja'Marr Chase and say, like, well, we'll take the cheaper option in terms of T. Higgins and say they'll roll with that. Because to me, it's, you're going to have to pay Chase right at the top of the market. Whatever the very top of the market is for receivers, you're going to have to pay that with Chase. And then with Higgins, it's, you don't want to throw in that $30 million on top of it.
817 wants to know the difference between a restricted free agent and an unrestricted free agent.
So a restricted free agent can sign an offer sheet. You basically get tendered for a round value that says, all right, I'm going to tender you as a first-round restricted free agent. So what that means is if a team signs them, the team would have the option to either match the contract offer or give up a first, or just take the first round pick and allow them to sign that player away. And so you can have that with first round tenders, second round tenders, or an original round tender. So an original round tender is if a guy was picked in the fifth round, for instance, you would get a fifth round pick back for him signing away. If it was a second round tender, you'd get a second round pick back, first round tender, first round pick back. So the idea is that it's a protection that says, all right, I either have the option to match this contract, or if it's too rich for my blood, this team's going to have to give me whatever draft pick compensation I had placed on the player. So there's a restriction element to it, and it basically gives the team right of first refusal.
And unrestricted free agent, you can just sign with any team.
You're free.
And it's all good.
Outside of, obviously, the franchise tag. If they franchise tag you, then that can limit you.
Absolutely. Okay, now Schefter also has the Browns at 2 as the second most interesting team of the offseason, then the Saints, then the Patriots, who have a ton of cap space looking to build around Drake May, and then the New York Giants, the New York Jets bring in Aaron Glenn. Obviously, they have said thank you, no thank you to Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, what are they going to end up doing with Garrett Wilson, who's kind of hinted at maybe wanting to be traded? There's a lot of questions there with the Jets. I do think the Browns are interesting because it's like, do they want to go with a quarterback here? Are they going to trade Myles Garrett? They're acting like they don't want to, but I heard Diana Russini of The Athletic talking about the Browns are being loud about the fact that they don't want to do it, but they also understand that this is probably going to be inevitable, trading Myles Garrett.
If you're trading Myles Garrett and assuming Abdul Carter doesn't go number one to the Titans, you probably have to take him second, I would think. I mean, personally, because, like, you cannot, so much of what Cleveland's done in recent years has been built on what they do defensively and who they are in terms of their ability to get to the passer, that if you're going to get rid of somebody like Myles Garrett, not willingly, Myles Garrett requested the trade, but if you're going to get rid of Myles Garrett, then you're going to have to replace him on some level. So that either means, what, go out and trade for Trey Hendrickson and then do something else with the second round or the number two pick, or you're going to have to use that number two pick on somebody like Abdul Carter. So there are definitely questions and things that they have to consider there, especially with Deshaun Watson's massive contract just sitting there hanging on the books.
Yeah, that is that's an absolute disaster for the Browns right now. I'm sure, like, I would be, if I was a Browns fan, like, we have to understand this is a huge rebuild situation, and I wouldn't be married to taking a quarterback at number two, that's for sure. I did see Field Yates's latest mock draft. He had Shedeur Sanders going number six to the Raiders, and Shedeur commented on Twitter saying, "That's cap. I ain't going six." So Shedeur has,
really?
a ton of confidence that he will be going. I'm assuming he's talking about going much earlier than six. And maybe he knows something that we don't know about some of these teams showing the interest. Maybe he knows the Giants absolutely want him, even though I think the Giants very well may be in on Cam Ward. But neither one of these guys, Cam Ward, Shedeur, none of them are home run, surefire. No. You got to have them. So I think if he falls to the Raiders at six, I do think the Raiders would probably jump on that.
It's been said numerous times, there was a lot of reservation and hesitation about Drake May last year, for instance. If Drake May was in this class, wouldn't even be a question. He goes number one. Like, slam dunk, easy. It's not as strong of a draft class, and it's definitely not as strong of a quarterback draft class. The guy that Shedeur gets compared to the most, and this is not a bad player, but when you talk about taking him in the top 10, it seems a little much. The guy that he most consistently gets compared to is Geno Smith by scouts. They say that's who he's probably most like. Geno Smith, fine quarterback. He's turned himself into a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's somebody who you can absolutely win with. The Seahawks have had success with him, but you wouldn't necessarily say to yourself, I want to be picking Geno Smith when I'm picking in the top five. I wouldn't think.
No, absolutely not. If that's going to be your ceiling, I do think Shedeur Sanders is probably like a high floor player, but yeah. How much upside does he really have? Cam Ward probably has more in the way of upside, but everybody's got their own flavor. I heard Dane Brugler talking about how it's going to be day two of the draft where you're going to see a lot of the quarterbacks flying off the board.
Yeah, because that's
which is a rare instance. Like second, third round quarterbacks, you don't usually see a bunch of them, but with this particular class, I think that's where you're going to end up seeing a lot of the quarterbacks go off the board, and they're just going to be the type of guys that maybe they're just future backups, but you're going to slow cook them a little bit. They're not going to be thrown into the fire.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who just won a Super Bowl was one of those type of quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts was a guy who went in the second round and was considered kind of like, I wouldn't necessarily take him in the first, but he's more of a second, third round type of guy. So you can win with them, and they can click. Lamar Jackson was the very last pick of the first round, and so those kind of guys can absolutely hit. So, yeah, you're definitely looking more at, is that going to be Jalen Milroe, Quinn Ewers, Jackson Dart? Are those going to be the types of quarterbacks that we see going more on day two?
And just seeing the combine invite list, there were a couple of interesting takeaways. And it looks like the combine where Sean, RJ, and Bobby are going to be here in about a week and a half or so, they have Travis Hunter listed as just a corner. Did that surprise you?
No.
How does that even work? Does Hunter have any say in that? Does he say like, hey, I just want to work out as a corner?
He can tell them that he wants to work out in certain groups, but no, it doesn't surprise me. Most NFL teams are viewing him as a corner right now. I think everybody's going to want to have him work out at different places, but I think the idea for most people is I can have you be a corner and drop you in on a few plays as a receiver during a game much easier than I can say you're a receiver and I'm going to have you play some corner every now and then. That's just not going to be as common.
Yeah, the only example I can even come up with was when Belichick and the Patriots had to do with Troy Brown.
Out of just complete necessity.
Right, right. But in general, you're 100% right. It's much easier to just work a guy in like Deion did offensively and then just be a full-time corner. I cannot wait to see how that shakes out, which team ends up getting him. The other thing that was notable, last year, 25 defensive tackles were invited to the combine. Now this year you have 41. Dude. Just to show the difference in how many available, studly enough defensive tackles there are to get invited to the combine. When we're talking about the Cowboys right now, and throwing around money and Osa and all this stuff, and I get it, the importance of an Osa, or I mean, I prefer Milton Williams from Philadelphia, but whatever. Those guys are going to be top of the market money, at least for this offseason. You're looking at probably $20 million a year for those guys.
I think Field Yates and Jeremy Fowler on their they had their top available free agents. Like, you got to remember, this is not only a thin draft class, it's a thin free agent class where I like Osa Odighizuwa. I think he's a good player. He was 10th. He was the 10th overall player listed on their top free agent list over at ESPN. Mm. And that tells you what kind of, you know, group of players you're talking about here. So, yeah, if it's a deep defensive tackle draft, if it's a deep running back class like Nick Harris was talking about last segment, maybe you're looking at this and saying, let me find the thing that's maybe a little thin at 12. If it's Luther Burden, the receiver from Missouri, if, you know, by God's grace, Tetaroa McMillan from Arizona slides down to you at 12, maybe that's what you, maybe you say, I'll trade up a little bit. I'll go up to 8 or 9 to get this position that I think is thinner down the rest of the draft and sacrifice that knowing I can get a 3 technique or a running back or something like that later in the draft.
Okay, it's time for a giveaway.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Caller number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to the College Baseball Showcase at Globe Life Field in Arlington on Friday, February 21st through the 23rd. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Thank you, Peyton. All right, crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece, where we will see if Hagee is willing to read the DFW love notes written by Bobby. That's next right here on The Fan. Friendly reminder, tomorrow, Hurtado Barbecue, their new location in Dallas. We will be doing a live recording of the Love of the Star podcast, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Myself, Eric Chiafalo with Brian Broaddus and Zach Wolchuk in Dallas. New location for Hurtado. Come hang out, drink, eat, and talk some ball, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now it's time for Crosstalk. Gentlemen, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Good VD right here. If I come down there, I can eat barbecue?
You actually, yeah, you're allowed to.
Awesome.
You get the green light.
I'm excited.
It'd be pretty bold if they're like, no, you can only come and watch the recording of the show. No one is allowed to eat.
You can't spend any money in our establishment.
I want some barbecue, man.
Yeah.
Barbecue sounds really good right now.
Eric, you have an astonishing amount of writing on your cut sheet.
What do you think about that?
And drawings. Yeah,
I'm a doodler.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Whatever helps you pass the time, I get it.
I can't help myself. I have it on. I do a Bible study with some guys, and every week they're always like, "Oh, back at it with the doodles." I just can't help myself with some of this stuff,
you draw,
man.
Like, a little boat with all the animals going on there.
Yeah, just putting depictions. What do you think about that? What did I draw? Do you see anything just that jumps out? Some googly eyes.
It looks like
a lot
of
squares
right there with teeth. This guy's on a cross. I feel like
I love drawing just weird faces and stuff. I'm a big fan of the
ticket
doodles.
Giveaway, College Baseball, Hurtado. Yeah, there's lots of stuff.
I always want to just leave some notes for myself.
That's good.
I'll leave them for you, Hagee, as well, to help you for your program today.
Thank you very much.
What kind of notes?
Just like he just said.
Are the only notes that make sense? They're only notes that make sense for you, though. Dude. Like, is it like just shorthand words where it's like no one would know what that means except Eric because he wrote it?
No, I think. I think all these are pretty clear.
That is weird that you asked that, because for some reason this morning when I woke up, I thought about Mickey Spagnola taking notes. Have you ever seen him take notes?
Yeah, and Mickey does not. Everyone else will be sitting there with their recorders. Mickey still to this day has the little like reporter flip book, and he'll sit there with the ear leaning and just like.
He's shorthand. It's shorthand. I can't read it.
No,
I have no clue how to read shorthand.
I find it, there are two people that I see do it consistently. Mickey does it without a recorder. Jory does it with one. So Jory Epstein will record and she'll take notes. So she'll have her recorder out and just, she's usually got a leg like up. She's got her like knee up and she's pressing the pad down on her knee so that she can like keep writing it down. So they
always
they grind.
The press conferences and you can just hear the rapid.
Yeah. Yeah,
just everybody's trying to go word for word with this thing. It's a tough gig. Okay, did you guys see Saquon Barkley loading up 18-wheeler trucks of beer for his offensive linemen? Just the starters.
Is this garage beer? Is he like the Kelsey's hooked it up, or is it just any kind of beer you're rolling out?
They're calling it Bird Light.
See, I hate that they won.
Sounds disgusting.
I hate when other teams win and they get to do whatever they want, and you're like. Well, they're winning. They won, so you can't really say crap about it.
Over under.
Tastes like poo.
At the parade today, half a horse gets punched in the face.
Half a horse?
Yeah.
I'll go over.
Okay. I think that's.
I think you're winning no matter what.
I mean, with the night they won the Super Bowl, there was a bunch of people on horseback celebrating in the streets of Philadelphia. Yeah. I was surprised to see it, but
they've been known to punch horses there.
What are those mythical half horse, half man creatures?
Manitars.
Yeah. So centaurs.
I used to love y'all's KNC masterpiece centaur shirt.
So
I still love it actually.
Shape I was ever in.
Yeah. So that one, that like if you get one of those, like is that would that just be a Vegas push then? If that guy got punched in the face,
I think so. It's kind of like the fantasy where people are like, oh, that mermaid. And you're like, but how would that work? She has the...
You'd figure it out.
How are you going to figure it out?
She'll let you know.
She can't take off her
tail
and then she has legs.
They know how they do it.
That's never been... I can't eat steak in a seafood restaurant. So, like, I mean, that alone would be a problem for me. So
I'd have no issues.
Where would it go?
Again, you ask her or him. You just say, how do we do this? And they let you know.
Oh,
but if it was the
That way you've also asked for consent.
And it was a giant fish thing on the top.
That's smart, Corey.
And then the other parts on the bottom. You probably wouldn't want to do that, right?
About the fish thing on top. Well, I don't know.
That's the only way anatomically it would work.
Maybe those legs are, you know, really nice.
Maybe. There's a giant fish head. Like,
oh, it feels so good. Like,
you just dangle a hook over them. And I can't wait. I don't know what we're talking about.
Do you guys have some good V-Day plans today? Who at the station is the most buttoned up for Valentine's Day, you think?
Like the most prepared?
Yeah, like which
Broadus, one? Broadus, I'm sure, is going to like have
out the red carpet.
Rose petals and like super expensive dinner reservation. Like that, it brought a strikes me as like when he's got a Valentine, he's going to go all.
Really? Out. I think he's going to be doing a podcast at the time that everybody is.
Well, it's just love of the name for love of the star. What's the problem?
Yeah, I would assume Broadus. I mean, if you're dating, you're probably like trying to be impressive, right?
Because
Adrian and I have kind of agreed to not celebrate Valentine's Day. We celebrate March 23rd, which was the first day I asked her out to it on a date. So that's the day
you guys went for ice cream that one?
This morning, she actually went to a wedding that night. It was her grandmother's wedding.
You were her date to the wedding?
I was not her date to the wedding. She just
Hold up. Did you just say it was her grandmother's wedding?
Yeah.
You know,
her grandmother
know
got remarried.
She was hot, dude. You know that, Hagee.
It probably is. It probably is Sean. Like, now that I think about it, because Sean always does, it feels like we'll have like the big time dinner reservation.
Yeah. Let's be fair.
Like, he's in Mexico right now.
Yeah, he took her to Mexico.
Yeah, so it's probably Sean.
Sean for the win.
But I think that's for her birthday, too. So he's probably got to double,
Poppy.
He's probably got to double them up and like really come through in a big way.
I always roll like through Tom Thumb or Kroger and get some flowers on the way home because they always hook it up. They're fantastic florists over there.
I got lectured hard this year.
Oh, no.
She was like,
how far in advance?
About 4 days ago. Like, just I got lectured with the like, look, if it's going to be a just let me go run to the store and grab some crap, just save your time and don't give me anything.
And you said, thanks, like, honey.
Okay. All right. Message received.
Let me ask you this. What does she do for you?
I mean, I don't think we can get into that on
here. Cereal. You know what I mean?
This should be a double bowl cereal kind of night.
But I just meant like Valentine's is supposed to go both ways, right? Like,
it does. It does.
Oh yeah, it swings in both directions.
It's a very special time of year for the belts.
Never mind.
Yeah. Well, we're actually, this is interesting because we're picking up a mom and a daughter. This is weird.
Whoa, I like where this
is
going.
Shut up.
Who we go up to Cleveland when we take Lucy up there.
Oh, that's weird.
Adrian and Lucy will stay with them sometimes. And so they're coming down to Dallas for the first time. They're staying with us. So that's what we're doing tonight. First time I ever went to Cleveland, Polar Vortex.
Ooh.
They're coming to Dallas for the first time, Polar Vortex.
Mm.
So there's just something there.
Yeah, when is the Vortex?
Like the
Major's
triangle.
Early next week, we're going to get Vortex?
It's going to be 12 degrees on like Tuesday or Wednesday next week. It'll be 12 degrees outside.
We're going to get Vortex.
We're going to get
Vortex. Are those cards for me?
Yeah, these are for you to read, Hagee. These are...
How great are those cards, though?
They look
NFL
awesome.
NFL Network gave them to me at the Shrine Game. I wish I would have got more. They're like production cards.
I'm not
going to
lie. I was kind of hoping Eric would leave them behind and I could take them.
Yeah,
because I didn't know what they
will.
Were.
I will leave them for you.
Yeah.
Now, we did this earlier, but Bobby wrote some DFW love notes, and they're extremely romantic.
Are they?
the passion is real. So you are going to cold read these the same way I did this morning. Okay. And it's just a build up. So if you think this first one is a little heavy handed, just wait till the fourth.
Look me in the eyes when you read these.
Yeah, read them before.
Why am I supposed to read them?
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Read it.
From Kevin Hagelin.
Roses are red. This weather's cold. I'm Jerry Jones. Be my glory hole.
That's good. That's clever. Rhyme. That's cute. All right. Cold hole. It's kind of
like I said, romantic.
Okay. That was very romantic.
That was nice.
Okay. Next one.
Card number two.
Because he wants you to be the oil well.
Read it.
That's right.
Be my Tony Romo. Jeez, and let me break your back.
Oh, my God.
Kevin,
why would you say that?
I didn't write these.
Yeah, dude.
I'm just recalling.
A couple weeks ago, we had to hit the dump button, and now this?
All right, next one.
That could have been a punctured lung joke as well.
Next one.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Haggy.
Number three.
Okay. Read it.
If you're Rob Palenka, I'm Nico Harrison. Because I want you to bleep me in a Dallas coffee shop.
Hey, dude. Masterpiece of the week's loaded up today. Thanks,
I admire
guys.
Your vulnerability here in this time, Hagee. You've really gone all out this year for Valentine's.
This is the last one.
Show me your meat.
We're going to end it.
Does that mean this is the worst
just
one?
Just start reading it. Okay. Just start reading it. Don't even look at it. Just read it.
He's a fast reader. That's always been known. It's never been disputed.
Man, we're gonna get in trouble for this one. Be my Patrick Dumont. Because I'd like to marry a virgin.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Golly,
Corey, what's coming
dude.
Up on the program?
We're getting fired.
Mike today. Already did, it feels like. He's not here.
Will these two Rangers make the all-star team? NFL overreaction reality. Four nations face off all in the first hour. Plus C-block today where I tell the great Valentine's Day story.
There's no C-blocking allowed on Valentine's.
Exactly.
Oh, please. All right. Have a great weekend, everyone. The KNC Masterpiece is next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.